The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I'm Doc Leibin, Klaus and Globin.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Give you a nice Def Leppard story. Back when they were first making it here in America, I won't tell you the year, I was playing for a team in the American Soccer League called the Pennsylvania Stoners. One of the all-time great names. Of course, we had the captain of Hungary on our team. We had a number of different English veterans and then a mix of good young American guys. But Def Leppard was just making it in America at that point, and we're playing in Pennsylvania at the Allentown Raceway, I think it was. So a couple of us were asked to go play in a sort of game, because they like soccer. These guys are from Sheffield, England. And the drummer had both arms at the time. Joe Elliott was there. Everybody was there. And we played this, kind of fun get-together game. You know, mascots were playing. It was good fun. But 2,000 teenage girls showed up because Def Leppard was just cracking it here in America. So it was fairly interesting, I guess. That was one from the archives. Real quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm working for you 24/7. Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases, plant and refinery accidents, boat and car, wrongful death. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. And with a Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress, depending on the circumstances of your accident, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for compensation. Daspit Law Firm, supporters of the game of soccer. My thanks to John Daspit. Of course, our other sponsors, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bayern Munich, the Daspit Law Firm and the Gorgeous Gale, and Bayern Munich and the Gorgeous Gale, great places to catch both the Copa America this weekend. Gorgeous Gale's over in West University, Bayern Munich down in Midtown. My good friend Raymond down there and Peter over at the Gorgeous Gale in West U. Contemporary furniture, it's Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Go see my friend Jan. All right, we'll take a couple phone calls as we come back here. Let's talk a little Gio Dos Santos. Now, by the way, everybody's got to understand that Gio Dos Santos has been a target for Major League Soccer for quite a long time, going all the way back to 2011, for obvious reasons. Young, talented, Mexican draw, Mexican national team. His father was Brazilian. His uncle was my ex-teammate, Beto Dos Santos. We had him on Dynamo All Access last night and Soccer Matters earlier in the week. And he said to me on those shows, Beto, that Gio would come to MLS, but down the road. But now we're hearing, and this is just in the newspaper, that his agent, Vicente Montes, has confirmed that Gio is dealing with the LA Galaxy and that talks are pretty advanced. And the Galaxy have gone after him before. The Dynamo have also inquired about Dos Santos a number of years back as well. So I want to make that very clear. This is not fresh or new. Major League Soccer is looking for any Mexican stars that can put people in the seats and can help penetrate that type of fan base in the correct markets, without a doubt. So to continue the talk with Gio, let's go to DJ. DJ, you're on. What's up, DJ?
Yeah, hello, DJ. Hello, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm very good, DJ. How are you?
Yeah, I was just about to talk about the comments that Beto made, the uncle to Giovanni Dos Santos, when you asked him if he had any plan of coming to play in the MLS. When he said, I think the dad said he wants him to come when he's like maybe much older, that he's still young to come play in the MLS now. So I was now thinking, like, why the MLS looked at that as a retirement league, kind of, where the likes of 36-year-old Pirlo and Gerrard and Lampard, you know, come to play when they retire from playing the English league or the Serie A league. Why the MLS looked at them as the retirement league? I'm not really sure if it's doing much good to the league. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, it's a fair comment. MLS is getting more younger, talented, sort of unknown potentials than they are getting aging superstars. Now, whenever you sign an Andrea Pirlo, who's expected to sign with New York City FC, or a Frank Lampard or a Steven Gerrard, you're automatically going to get the tag of retirement league. But it all depends on what those guys have to offer. Now, I would offer up David Villa. David Villa is interesting to go watch, okay, in this new environment in New York at Yankee Stadium. David Villa is giving it his all. I don't think players of that stature can come here anymore, like back in the early days when Lothar Matthäus came, and not perform because they will embarrass themselves gratefully in a big way. They will embarrass themselves. New York, Los Angeles, they feel like they got to have big-name superstars. Who's not going to want to maybe come out and see Steven Gerrard? When he comes to Houston with L.A. in July, I guarantee you there's Liverpool fans here that are going to go to the game.
All right,
So I think these guys are still a draw. I mean, I would also say, why are people paying huge money to go see friendly games that mean absolutely nothing here in this country but are drawing huge numbers? It's really for stardom and following stars, and it's almost celebrity in a way. You know what I mean?
All right.
So, you know, as long as there's a balance with that, I mean, nobody's going to tell New York City FC who they want to go after and spend their millions of dollars on. I would say, if I'm the manager, Jason Christ, how am I going to play Frank Lampard and Andrea Pirlo in the same midfield? Right?
That may
be a challenge.
Why is it difficult to get, like, attract young talent who are, like, who are talented and really know, I mean, know what to do with the ball very well?
I think it's difficult to attract. You know, you got to remember, it's not easy. You know, money's leading the way here, and the finances of the game lead the way here. So when there's young talents, they're going to gravitate to Europe, and they're going to gravitate to the top leagues in Europe because that's where the money is. That's where all the young Argentines and a lot of young Brazilian players go. That's why they're the two biggest exporters of soccer players in the world. But that doesn't mean there aren't other talented players that are coming and taking opportunity in Major League Soccer. For instance, the Dynamo have a 19-year-old Colombian, Nemora Manotas, who's looked very good, who looks young, who looks talented, has great movement, looks sophisticated, has played in the Colombian First Division, has played for their under-20 national team. The Dynamo somehow found a way to get him here, and Major League Soccer found a way. So there's players out there. They just have to find them. There's economic situations in countries like Spain and Argentina that lend the Dynamo and MLS and teams in MLS the ability to compete for them because of a lot of financial problems going on in those countries. Some of those professional soccer teams have a hard time paying their players. We forget that. So MLS more and more is getting in the bidding game and in the competition game for younger players.
Okay.
Yeah. Are they going to grab Paul Pogba at his height? Of course not.
No, that's not possible.
No, that's not going to happen. But they are making headway, and as the game financially continues to grow here, there's going to be more and more of it. There's some young, exciting players in MLS. Fabian Castillo up in Dallas is a Colombian they paid significant money for that it took 2 or 3 years for him to adapt to the league. But he's exciting as can be to watch. I'd pay money for that guy alone.
Watch him.
Yeah. Anything else? That's
good to know. No, that's good to know.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
DJ, thank you very much for listening to the show. I appreciate that. Who is this? Jarrell?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jarrell, how are you?
Good, sir. Yourself?
I'm very good. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been trying to watch the Women's World Cup, and it's been good to see. I like the development of women's soccer. I saw an article about the disparity of women's soccer, like, you know, as far as the prize pool money of how they get paid compared to men's soccer. I believe it was like $35 million for like first, and only two million for first place.
Correct.
For the women.
That's accurate.
So
$35 million to Germany. $35 million for Germany to win the World Cup, and two for the women. Well, why should it be the same?
I think it just should be better than what it is.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
for the growth of women's soccer.
Yeah, this isn't about equity there. This is about, first of all, this is only the seventh Women's World Cup. The Men's World Cup has been going on for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes down to the popularity of the men and women's game. It's two different levels.
That's right.
And when that grows and continues to grow, and sponsors get on board, and TV rights continue to grow, then you'll see that gap narrowed. I don't think there's any question.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to see the growth of that. And I've also been paying attention to the Open Cup. I went to the fourth round game between FC Dallas and OKC.
Yeah.
In the end, I guess there's a disparity there between that USL team and FC Dallas.
Define disparity. What do you mean? Do you mean playing quality? What do you mean? Of course,
yeah. I mean,
disparity.
OKC just got beat. You know, mainly on speed alone. But I hope that for the growth of the Open Cup and for the growth of soccer within the United States in general, that, you know, these are some good games that are going on, but yet they're only broadcast on YouTube. So I hope, you know, sponsors or TV stations start picking that up to even get people to watch those things, because that's for a CONCACAF Championship League spot in the future. Whoever wins
It's been marketed horribly. Everybody wants to, you know, say, can we make this like the English FA Cup? Well, fact is, no, nobody wants to do that. It hasn't been marketed well. It's a tournament where a lot of MLS teams are trying to get experience for younger players, which I find fascinating, by the way, because we were at the Dynamo game late, and there was 400 amazing fans who stuck around until after midnight. Whoever those 400 are, you're amazing fans. But we saw some really interesting things with young players, but there's no marketing muscle behind it. The concept of the FA Cup and amateur teams competing against pro teams, it's not working here in the U.S. And, you know, to remind you, Jarrell, you know, the U.S. women were playing the same night the U.S. Men's Open Cup was going on. So, I don't know. How do you boost it? Because I think there's a lot of positives there, like you say.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, just last thing, Dynamo supporters are one of the greatest that I've seen. And I went out to one of the shows. It was between Houston and Portland. And Portland's got great support as well. But the supporters have been making soccer absolutely fun to watch. Thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jarrell. Good comments from Jarrell. Absolutely. Supporters groups, the supporter side of the game in this country have helped elevate soccer in the minds of many. We got great fans down at BBV at Compass Day. We just need more of them. I don't think there's any question. Dynamo need more fans. We're going to continue to cultivate. We're going to continue to till the soil, Michael Carroll. We're going to get more fans down at BBVA Compass Stadium, to that beautiful stadium, to see great quality soccer. All right, Ramon's taking us to the break here with Chinese Rock. 713-780-3776. We'll take a break. Carly Lloyd is coming up shortly. U.S. Women's National Team midfielder.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Joining us now from the U.S. Women's National Team, you have seen her all over the television as the women will play in the World Cup final against Japan this Sunday. She is also a Houston Dash player as well. She's Carly Lloyd. Carly, thank you for coming on the program during a very busy time for you.
No problem. Looking forward to being on.
All right, so let's quickly just talk about the performance of the United States here. And you guys have played, obviously, your best two games in the last two games, and you seem to be timing this World Cup right.
We are. I mean, I think slow and steady wins the race, and you know, Jill and myself were kind of saying that in the beginning. I think, you know, it's long gone are the days where we just step out onto the field the first game of a World Cup and pound in, you know, five or six goals. These games are all hard, no matter who we're playing. Every game this World Cup has been extremely difficult. And I think that, you know, what this team does best is putting teams on their heels and pressuring them and being nuisance. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, you know, we're not going to have perfect possession all the time. But if we're putting teams on their heels, good things usually happen, and that's what you've been seeing these last couple of games. So I think we're really confident, got momentum, and we've got a really, really good chance of winning this thing.
How important was this Colombia game and sort of a little bit of a pushback from fans and the media in a healthy way, I think? How important was that, and how much does that maybe factor into a sense of urgency, if it does at all?
I think the Colombia game was huge for the team, for me personally. I think that getting out of our group, coming out on top, you know, was the focus. And it was a really tough group. We had some challenges. Our defense has been stellar. We had some, you know, key players step up in those group matches. Megan Rapinoe, Kristen Press, and Julie Johnson, and Becky, and Klingenberg, and Krieger, and Hope back there. So I think now with the Colombia game, it was almost like we could kind of be at ease a little bit and know that, you know, this is a knockout round. We're confident in ourselves. Let's go out, let's play freely, and, you know, take it to them. And I think we saw glimpses of that as well. We're still creating a lot of chances, and I think now we've definitely taken our game up, you know, five notches.
Carly Lloyd joining us here on ESPN 97.5. This is Soccer Matters. Talk a little bit, Carly, about your relationship with Morgan Bryan on the field and kind of these last two games where it seems like you've got a little bit more freedom.
Yes, it's been good. I mean, I know that, you know, we played some quality teams in our group matches, and we really wanted to be secured defensively in there. And, you know, it's obviously I love to attack. I love to create. I want to have an impact. And, you know, with Morgan Bryan coming in and me speaking to Jill and hearing her thoughts on, you know, how we want to play and how she wants to get me going. You know, it just was great that she allowed me the flexibility on the field and the freedom to, you know, have an impact and express myself. And obviously this is a team sport. So with me being able to have that freedom, you know, Morgan Bryan stepped in the China game and did fantastic for us. I think that, you know, she's a great player. She was confident. She accepted her role. She did her role, and therefore allowing me to create and get into the attack. But it's been good. It's been good to see. And, you know, everything's always a learning experience. I think that so many people, you know, it's good us to just come out flying on all cylinders. And You know, there's a reason why I think we now have the momentum, and I think the timing of it has been perfect.
Yeah, go into that a little more, because you did point out already that it was, you know, sort of the relief of getting out of the group stages, and now the focus as the big prize gets closer. But what other things may have played a part in this? Because it's obvious the last two games, your soccer has been far elevated, far more urgent, lots more energy and tempo, and certainly games that, I mean, we look at the Germany game, you guys dominated this game. So it really is quite the large jump at this point. Is there some flip you switch, or what is it?
Well, I think that this team and the history of this team shows that when we go after teams and when we pressure them high in their half, we create a lot of opportunities and we're closer to goal. Now, you know, I'm not saying we're a Japan who pings the ball around all the time and, you know, little Barcelona tiki-taka. We can do that, but we also have the advantage of being able to play in behind with some of our speed up top, and we also have the ability to pressure teams at a high rate every single game because we're so mentally strong and we're physically fit. So I think that when we allow teams to come at us, and if we sit back a little bit more, it's not, you know, very instinctual for people on this team to do that. I think the more we go at teams, the more we put them under pressure, the attacking side of things just come and things are created. So that's what we do best, and I know everyone feels that, and everyone realizes that, you know, and like I said, we're going to make mistakes. It's not going to be perfect, but we're getting the job done, and that's the most important thing.
She's Carly Lloyd, gold medalist. She's done it all. Just an absolutely fantastic soccer player to watch put the U.S. on her back in the win over Germany. Had a golden assist in that game. She plays here in Houston with the Houston Dash. Three goals and assists in the last couple of games for Carly. Let's just talk a little bit more about Japan, because I heard Abby Wambach say that you know, there's some unfinished business with Japan. Is that how you see it, or is this just the final obstacle in the block of grabbing that World Cup for the first time since 1999?
Yeah, this is just, you know, it's weird. This feeling has been weird. I mean, I've been excited that we've continued to advance, but it's almost a weird feeling. It's a feeling as if, okay, you know, one down, six more to go, all right, two down, you know, it's kind of that. It's, you know, yep, last game was great, but I've already moved on to this next game. It's almost like that prize at the end. You want it so bad that you just continue to just wait for the next opportunity to put your mind into the next task at hand. And I think, you know, people are calling this redemption and revenge. I see it as just another World Cup final that we'll be playing in against Japan, a team who we are familiar with, who has done well this World Cup. And for us, this is the final, and this is what we want to go after. And this is why we've trained hard. We've sacrificed so many things. Nothing else at this point matters except for that game on Sunday.
Carly, I got to, like many people, saw a wonderful shot of you just in a real moment of concentration before taking the penalty kick against Germany. It was pretty amazing moment. What's going through your mind, you know, as you're prepared to take a penalty, and how much are you aware of? Just kind of take us into that moment when you were taking that penalty kick against Germany.
Well, it was, you know, a good run by Alex, and you know, when the ref whistled to the spot, the ball was over by the end line. And I knew that I was taking a PK in the game if it were to come. I walked over to the ball, got my breath, collected my thoughts, and just walked straight to the spot, put the ball down, and pretty much for the entire, I think it was, I read it was like 103 seconds, I put the ball down and I stared at the ball for pretty much the entire time. Was confident, knew that I've taken PKs after training over and over again, you know, for the last 7 to 8 months, and I knew that this was a huge opportunity. And I basically zoned out the entire world, zoned out the keeper, zoned out everything. It was the net, the ball, myself, and just fully focused and was ready for it. And it was pretty funny because some of my friends sent me the picture of myself prior to taking the PK, and you know, I looked at it and I looked pretty scary in that photo, but I was in the zone. I was ready for it.
Now, I've read that you've kept your family away, even your husband. Is this for focus purposes? Is this correct?
Yes. Yeah, I've got, I don't have anybody here. It's, you know, they're not a distraction per se, but in order for me to be at my best and to be doing what I need to do, I don't have to worry about anything. My complete focus is what I need to do, and that's how I want it. They get it. They understand. My fiance knows. Of course, he would love to be here. He would be, you know, enjoying every moment of it, but he knows that this is the most important thing to me, and he knows that when we win, I'll come home and celebrate with everybody.
Now, your intensity and focus and concentration, I think, is legendary in your training habits, and I think this is a wonderful example for any players. This has been developed how? How have you nurtured this? Because this isn't something always you're just born with. You do have to nurture this, identify it, and it seems you've really done that.
Yeah, I would say as a youngster, I was completely dedicated to the sport. I didn't need to be told by my parents to go out and practice. I was always out practicing. I was loved the game. I lived and breathed the game of soccer. But for so many years, I just used my talent alone. And, you know, I didn't have somebody like a mentor who I have now, my trainer, James Galanis, who was instilling things in me. You know, the importance of eating good, the importance of sleep, the importance of hydrating and stretching and being physically fit, you know, and not blaming teammates and coaches for teams that you didn't make or if you weren't starting. Those were kind of the things that I focused on. And when I met him for the last 12 years, he's, you know, basically had me study the likes, the greats, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Muhammad Ali, Bruce Lee. He told me Bruce Lee would do, you know, a couple thousand sit-ups a day and said, you know, obviously you don't need to be doing that many, but you need to be constantly doing something each and every day. And he's also taught me the mental side of things, just to be a fierce competitor, to outwork your opponents, to control what you can control, to only focus on yourself, to only compete against yourself. And these are the things that I've just soaked in, and I've done every single thing that he's asked of me. And, you know, it's just been great. You know, I think I've got the momentum and just always wanting to kind of prove to people that I've got more in me and to just train like an underdog.
Carly, that being said, how quickly do you process the Germany victory, the elation of getting past them? How quickly do you put that away after that game and begin to think of the next one?
Well, I finished the game against Germany, you know, jumped in an ice bath, got changed, did the press conference, and came out of that and called James on the phone. And you know, he said to me, you know, that's great, well done, but focus is now on the final. And I said, yep, I've already moved on from it. So it was probably, you know, 45 minutes or an hour or so where I focused my full attention on the next game and what I need to do.
By the way, I like the goal celebration on that corner flag.
Yeah, the karate chop.
Yeah, give me a little of the karate background there. Does that just come organically there? It was a wonderful moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the moment for goal celebrations. One of my favorite ones in the picture was the World Cup, actually the 2012 Olympic final, where I was able to slide on the ground with my teammates. And you obviously can't do that on turf. So I've had this corner flag thing in the back of my mind for quite some time, and you know, I just happened to pull it out at that moment. But it was fun. It was, you know, some of the pictures are really cool. There's a great picture of Julie and Becky hugging, and then in the background, it's me jumping up at the flag, and I think Krieger and Morgan Bryan or somebody else in the photo, which is pretty cool and fun.
Last question, we'll let you go because I know you're very busy. Just a word or two on Japan.
Well, we're familiar with Japan. We know they're a great side. They possess really well. They're collectively all on the same page. But at the end of the day, I think if we keep doing what we've been doing these last few games, the performance that we had against Germany collectively, we'll be fine, and good things will happen. And I really believe in every single one of the players on this team. I believe in the coaching staff and everybody, and we'll be ready to go.
Carly, as always, thank you very much for your time. We wish you the best of luck against Japan in the World Cup final. Bring it home, and thank you again for being so gracious with your time.
No problem. Thanks so much. See everybody in Houston soon.
You got it. Thank you, Carly. That's Carly Lloyd of the U.S. Women's National Team in action against Japan on Sunday. It is the World Cup final. And by the way, Carly and her teammates, Morgan Bryan, also Megan Klingenberg, July 12th, they'll be playing Chicago Red Stars. So pretty miraculous opportunity to get to talk to somebody fresh ahead of a World Cup final. Take a break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, we're going to wrap it up in big style. We go to the Big Apple in New York City, where he's regularly seen on BN Sport. You saw him in the Copa America recently. He's Ian Joy. He's also the color commentator for New York City FC and a former professional soccer player. Ian, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Glenn, it's my pleasure to be joining you.
All right, so before we get into the Copa America final that'll take place on Saturday between Argentina and the host nation, Chile, let's just talk about the tournament overall. You know, I've heard mixed from people. You've called a lot of these games. How has this tournament been overall in the big scheme of things? I know there's been some controversy around it.
I think the overall big picture of the tournament has been pretty good. Obviously, you leave a lasting impression, and the last impression we've got from the tournament has been the knockout stages, which has pretty much blown everybody away. There was a lot of slow games going into the group phases, a lot of refereeing decisions that went wrong. We've seen some bad performances, some weak national sides, and I was actually very disappointed with a lot of the games that went down in the group phase. But for me, the knockout stages has taken it up to another level. I think the games have been excellent to watch. They've been entertaining. Sometimes the refereeing decisions make it a little more entertaining. But it's a lot of fun. It's a great tournament. There's a lot of aggression involved in it. And every one of those nations wants to be successful. So it's a good tournament. And I expect this final to be an absolute cracking one as well.
All right. Who's the emerging soccer nation now in South America? Because I don't think without any doubt, maybe Brazil is less feared now. It seems as though maybe the gap is narrowed with many of the countries.
Yeah, you know, there's been a few teams that really impressed me. Actually, one of my dark horses going into it was Colombia. They were very, very disappointing. I covered all three of their group games, and they were awful. I think they had one great performance, and that was against Brazil. And obviously, they didn't really raise any eyebrows there as well. They were not that great. So both teams were disappointing and eventually getting knocked out. The one that really stood out to me more than anybody else, and it's one that probably not a lot of people are talking about, was Peru. They were absolutely fantastic. They played great football. They're well organized, a mix of experience with young, talented players. They're fast. They are technically well gifted. And I think that Peru, obviously, in the next 4 or 5 years are going to get better and better with these players involved. So they were one that stood out to me. Obviously, Chile, everybody expected to do well, being the home nation, and they've not disappointed. And then, of course, Argentina, they've really taken up another gear. And their last performance, the 6-1 thrashing, was just outstanding.
Now, let me take you back to Peru. What is going on in Peru that, you know, really is lifting their national team? Is there a larger investment in what's going on there? Are more of their players now playing in Europe? Give me a couple good reasons why Peru now is starting to, you know, kind of bare its teeth in South America.
Well, you've got a lot of players who are playing in Germany in the Bundesliga that are in that Peruvian side. You've obviously got Guerrero, who's an outstanding player who played at Hamburg and obviously Bayern Munich as well. Farfán at Schalke. Zambrano, the one who actually let his side down with a red card early on in the match against Chile, was a big disappointment. So I think that when you look at the experience that they're getting there, the younger generation are learning so much from these experienced players, and they're still in the twilight of their careers. Guerrero only in his 30s, and Farfán only 29 years old. Talented players. One of the most talented players I watched was Cueva. He had got taken off after the red card in the final knockout game, but he blew me away. He was just such a talented player, scoring goals, creating opportunities, and a lot of pace behind him as well. So, like I said, a great mix of technical genius. Two players that played in the midfield, one for me in particular that stood out was Lobaton, and another one played right next to him called Bayon. Two defensive midfielders who were just outstanding. You could tell that they've learned the game the right way. Technically, they're all very sound. Their discipline was excellent, and the way they play their football was exciting to watch. So the youngsters are learning from these experienced players who are getting that experience in Europe.
All right, let me take you back to Colombia. He's Ian Joy of BN Sport. Colombia, obviously, the revelation of the World Cup down in Brazil in 2014. Is this just an off tournament? Was Brazil a flash in the pan? What's the story with Colombia?
Colombia, there was one player that stood out to me, Carlos Sanchez. Again, a defensive midfielder. He was outstanding. He played better than I'd ever seen him play in a premiership for Aston Villa in this tournament, but he was pretty much the only one that stood out to me. We've seen some poor performances from Cuadrado, even though his effort and his determination was great. We've seen some poor performances. Obviously, up front, you expect big things when you've got Carlos Bacca and Falcao. These are two talented players that just did not switch it on when it mattered most. Teofio Gutierrez, another player that you expected to come good on the big stage. These players disappointed in a big way, Glenn, and they really let themselves down because it was a great opportunity. Obviously, Carlos Bacca is doing ever so well in the Spanish league with Sevilla. Falcao, I'd have to say, this was a transfer window for him because he really disappointed at Manchester United. And scoring-wise, they were pretty poor, so they let themselves down.
Where do you think Falcao's future goes?
I don't know. I mean, he's still got a big name. Obviously, a poor season at Manchester United. I watched a lot of his games, and he was disappointing, but really just didn't find himself in the right place at the right time, where we've seen him so many times throughout the course of his career. Let's not forget, he came off a bad season of injury and then got the transfer to Manchester United. So it does take time to get back to full fitness, full sharpness, to mentally be strong again. So I think that you could possibly see him back in France. I'd like to see him end up at a good club. But then again, he's got the type of talent that you would expect to score goals. Maybe the Italian league would be something that would appeal to him as well. So that name will carry him through to another big club. I'm pretty sure of that.
Ian Joy joining us here also doubles as the color analyst for New York City FC, making their first foray into Major League Soccer this year. The final between Argentina and the host nation, Chile. I mean, this sets up to be a beautiful thing on Saturday. How do you see it? Obviously, Chile, the host nation, is going to have a ton of support. I'm sure there will be Argentines who find a way to get into the stadium. Is Argentina capable of being stopped right now?
After their second half performance in the semifinal, I'd have to say no. But then again, it's almost the final that we really wanted to see. The home nation, the passion, the 12th man that will be there at the stadium in Santiago, you would expect will help them. And they've played very well in the tournament. There's still more to come from them. They've scored a lot of goals. And if they can score a goal or two against Argentina, then Argentina could potentially be in trouble. But I just don't think that you can stop Argentina from scoring goals. They're too good. Their offensive way of playing football just blew me away in the semi-final, and I thought they were so impressive. I've been waiting for a long time, Glenn, to watch Argentina play in that fashion, in that style, and they were absolutely outstanding. So I say Argentina go in as favourites, but I say that Chile come out, they have to be composed and disciplined. Obviously, we've seen in matches where they've been under pressure that they've had a lack of discipline, especially in the first 45 minutes. So they need to be patient, wait for their opportunities, and make sure that they try not to concede an early goal against Argentina. Otherwise, it's game over.
Let's talk a little New York City FC. And here's a team that was a game of two halves against the New York Red Bulls in that recent derby in New York at Yankee Stadium. But drawing unbelievable crowds certainly have made an impact from that standpoint. The game of two halves, though, against the New York Red Bulls, where they absolutely got blown out in the second half after a great 45 minutes. What do you think is going on at New York City FC? How much pressure is there on Jason Christ right now? Or is this an organization that's going to give him the time and patience, you know, to build this team? Let's face it, it's year one.
I can tell you right now there's no pressure on Jason Christ whatsoever. The club in general are in love with Jason Christ, with the gentleman that he is, with his style of coaching, what he wants to achieve. They love him, and they're giving him all the time that he needs to be successful. But then again, this is a football club that has great expectations, so you just never know. The team has really impressed me. I have to admit they've done well. Obviously, heading into the Red Bulls game, they'd won three on the trot, and were looking very good. The first 45 minutes, they did very well in that game, even though they hadn't reached their full potential. Didn't look too bad defensively, and then all of a sudden, the Red Bulls came out of nowhere in the second half and were outstanding. And New York City Football Club just didn't come out of the dressing room. So an awful performance in the second half, I'm pretty sure that they'll want to forget very quickly. But I just don't see much pressure on Jason Christ. If there's pressure, it's on the guys who are not performing well in the first 11. You will get a number of opportunities, but not many, to play well for this football club. And then all of a sudden, you'll find your career's over. If you're not performing, you'll be out the door. And all the big names that have been rumoured, I can almost guarantee you that they will be signing very soon, and will be signing a number of players outside of the DPs as well to make this football club a better, more successful club. They want to achieve the playoffs this year, Glenn. They're going very, very hard for it. They believe they can do it, and they're not far away from making that happen, but they need to find consistency.
Would Andrea Pirlo be a smart signing, or would that be just another accumulation of just a world-name football player?
I think the reason they're signing Pirlo, or the reason that he's expected to be announced or signed soon, would be for the big name. Obviously, he is a huge name. He's a massive name. In the world game, he's still very successful, made the Champions League final. So you're bringing in a player who played in the Champions League final, similar to what they did with David Villa. David Villa's mentality and his work ethic has been outstanding. I think everyone can pretty much agree with that. Andrea Pirlo, slightly different, more older, will slow down over the next 2.5-3 years. But from set plays and his demeanour on the field, the experience will help the players around him. So he's a great signing. I'm not quite sure it's the one that Jason Christ would have wanted to invest in yet. But at times, when an opportunity like someone like Andrea Pirlo comes around your door, you can't say no. He already has an apartment in the city for many years now, so it just seems to be the perfect fit for right now. And for what they're trying to achieve, making the playoffs in the first season would be a huge achievement for the football club. And if Pirlo can help them make that happen, I think the other one is Frank Lampard. This guy is a fantastic footballer. He's still very, very fit. And they've got every opportunity, Glenn, of making that playoffs.
Now, how do those two play in midfield together? I mean, how would you play them together? Or would they be platooned at some point, because of all the travel and everything? I mean, I think there's a lot of ways those two can be used.
I think it's very tough to put them in midfield when you consider that the midfield has been okay recently. The guys who have been there will be disappointed, but unfortunately the big names come through, they perform, and if they do perform, they will continue to dominate that midfield. I would imagine that Pirlo will drop a little bit deeper in midfield, but that would also disappoint me because Andrew Jacobson's been one of the best, most consistent players for New York City this season, so I'd like to see him still play. But then you've got to consider Frank Lampard, then you've got to consider Mixte Scrood, then you've got a lot of Major League Soccer experience with Ned Grabovoy in that midfield as well. So there's a lot of players fighting for a few spots there. And when you've got Pirlo, you've got Frank Lampard and Nick Tiskerud around you, the chances you're going to get are few and far between. So it'll be interesting to see what Jason goes for.
Yeah, it's some difficult decisions for Jason Christ. I don't think there's any question. Just speak a little bit about the crowds at Yankee Stadium. I grew up in the New York metropolitan area, and you know, it's been pretty amazing, the crowds that have been coming out to New York City FC games. And, you know, that night with the New York Red Bulls, I mean, just spectacular for the sport of soccer.
Yeah, you know, as you know, with the New York supporters, it can be very difficult, very critical, obviously demanding. They want the best, and they're not frightened to voice their opinion. I've seen something different, Glenn, with this set of supporters. There's been a patience there, which has been incredible. Let's not forget the team went 11 games without winning a game. And they continue to turn up to pay the money. They've obviously got their season tickets to buy the shirts. It's been unbelievable. And I think they deserved a lot more than what they got in the second half against the Red Bulls. But they love the experience and they want this to be a big success. And the club will invest everything they possibly can to give these supporters what they want. Obviously, not having a stadium is going to be an issue at some point. But playing at Yankee Stadium, if you can get 49,000 people in it, is absolutely fantastic, as you well know. So it's great to see these supporters. They've really pushed the team. They've motivated themselves to get up for this and to be patient. But then again, they still want to see results. And if they don't get it, they will be even more critical than I'm sure the club will be on themselves.
Ian, listen, great catching up with you. Thank you very much for the insight on Copa America, New York City FC. Best of luck to you. Look forward to having you on again here real soon.
Glenn, you're a legend. I look forward to working again sometime soon. And I can't wait to see you, pal. Take care.
Thanks, Ian. Great talking to you. That was Ian Joy. Was a player at Real Salt Lake, also played in Germany. And you see him regularly on BN Sport. He's also the color analyst for New York City FC. That'll wrap it up. Before we wrap it up, though, let me tell you something. I'm headed over to Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe near the Galleria. You'll find award-winning chefs there at both Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette and Liberty Kitchen in the Heights. Fresh fish, oysters, gumbo, right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They serve breakfast on the weekends. It's libertykitchen.com, Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. My good friend Carl Eves involved with that restaurant, also a big soccer fan and involved with the HFA. For Michael Carroll, everybody here at ESPN 97.5, reminder, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and over to Facebook, It's Soccer Matters. That's where you can get the podcasts of these shows. For all of you who listened in tonight, thank you very much.
ESPN 97.5.